Kane of WEM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. The executive in charge of Shell's troubled Arctic drilling program is stepping down. David Lawrence is Shell's vice president for North American exploration. KUCB's Lauren Rosenthal says he's been with the company for nearly 30 years. Now a spokesperson says he's leaving, quote, by mutual consent. A source in the company says that it is not a firing. Last week, the Department of the Interior released its review of Shell's Arctic program. Interior's investigators said Shell was not fully prepared for the logistical challenges it faced in the Arctic. And Unalakleet is in the midst of a water emergency. Kevin Zweifel, director of the Office of Environmental Health at the Norton Sound Health Corporation, says water quit flowing into the treatment plant last Wednesday. Crews found a block in the line and are trying to jet out the buildup. Zweifel says they are also searching for a leak in the transmission line as the city is losing a good amount of water. Unalakleet City Manager Scott Dickens says the city had to shut down the water treatment plant last week after the pump failed and the city's water supply was used up. Dickens says the community has come together to assist in the crisis.
Council and a lot of the other leaders in town got together Saturday morning and devised a plan to pump water from the slough to feed the all the loops in town, keeping that non-drinkable water out of the water tank, and just to keep the water and sewer system flowing.
Dickens emphasizes there are no sanitation issues now that the water and sewer lines are running again, but there is no drinking water. The water coming out of the faucet has not been treated.
Right now we have a crew working on the main transmission line. Halfway down the runway, they are digging it out, seeing if they could get the line jetted out, unfrozen, and so we could start producing filtered water and refill our tank.
Between 20 to 30 homes still need water lines thawed. Residents are currently melting ice and potting water from springs and wells. Dickens says residents on the hillside with wells have been generously sharing their water. The city has recommendations, though, for residents as water is gathered.
Keep your water flowing slowly. I mean, have a faucet on low so the water's always moving. Continue to wash your clothes with, we need the hot water going through the sewer system to kind of keep that flowing too. It's fine to flush your tanks, do dishes, do laundry. Just don't drink the water coming out of the faucet. If you do get water that's not treated, boil it for 3 minutes to make sure anything's killed.
Dickens says this is still a tenuous situation with crews working late into the night to thaw water lines, but he thanks the DEC, the Department of Homeland Security, and Village Safe Water, who responded quickly, and they are providing assistance. The system and water tanks are expected to be up and running within the next few days. The Nome Common Council continues discussion and dealing with the vessel, the Rustler, the boat formerly owned by Mike Benchoff, the boat he now calls the Conica, and the discussion will continue. The council last night tabled a resolution authorizing the city of Nome to remove the vessel from Nome's inner harbor. Mr. Benchoff again failed to remove the Rustler from Nome's harbor before freeze-up, which is a violation of port tariffs. Since freeze-up last year, the Coast Guard removed the hazardous material and fluid from the vessel, and now former harbor master Joy Baker says if the boat sinks this spring, removal will be more involved and significantly more costly.
It could involve getting a heavy crane down, which I think the only big one in town is up on the side of the mountain for the utilities project in the spring. If the vessel sinks where it's at, it's in a really bad spot for opening our season, for launching vessels and moving cargo.
The city plans to hire Q Trucking to remove the vessel. In the mayor's absence, meeting chair Stan Anderson asked that the council table the resolution so the city administration can find out exactly how Q Trucking plans to remove the vessel. Q Trucking's quoted price to remove the Rustler from the ice, $26,000. $26,556.25. Throughout the past 2 years, Benchoff has violated port tariffs, failed to pay required fees and has twice allowed the vessel to freeze in the harbor. During public comments, Benchoff twice addressed the council, saying the city of Nome is trying to put him in financial harm.
Because I blew the whistle on corruption. And that's the bottom line. That's what all this boils down to.
What corruption, Benchoff did not say, nor did he provide any proof. Benchoff has claimed for 2 years and again last night that the city and port of Nome are singling him out. City Attorney Patrick Munson disagreed.
This is not something that we dreamed up any more than this is a path that we sent anyone down. When we were called and asked about this vessel, we did a lot of research to figure out what the city's options were, and we informed the council and the Port Commission of all those options, and it chose the path that has led us to where we are right now, using our advice. And we stand by that advice.
The city of Nome is now the legal owner of the vessel, the Rustler, and is well within rights to have the vessel removed from the harbor. The next Nome Common Council meeting will be held April 8th. The Iditarod Trail Committee is still investigating the death of a sled dog during the 2013 Iditarod race. 5-year-old Dorado had been dropped in Unalakleet on March 14th after his muscles became stiff on the trail. The ITC reports the dog died of suffocation after being covered by snow in a severe storm. Communications Director for the ITC, Aaron McLernan, says this is the first time an incident like this has occurred over the past 41 years of the race. She says the goal is to move dogs as quickly as possible, but flights were unable to take off due to high ground winds. McLernan says more than 130 dogs accumulated in Unalakleet because of the weather. 100 of them were fit into a hangar, but there was not enough space for the remaining 30 dogs, which were placed in a protected outside area. And after multiple checks by volunteers, Dorado was found at 8:30 in the morning on March 15th. The initial necropsy ruled the cause of death as asphyxiation from the snow accumulation. McLernan says more tissue samples and studies are being conducted. McLernan says that the ITC has handled thousands of drop dogs since the race began. Veterinarians, vet techs, and community volunteers manage the dogs, which are color-coded based on their conditions. Members of the board and race officials have been meeting since the dog's death. McLernan says that the drop dog procedures and protocols are being reviewed to identify any loopholes.
A couple of things that they have already instituted is they're going to build dog boxes for the hub communities like McGrath and Unalakleet so more dogs can be transported out at one time on more regular commercial flights. And then again, you know, they're just looking at, you know, increasing the patrols of the drop dog lot.
She adds that the ITC is in the process of meeting with Dorado's owners, Cody Strath and rookie musher Paige Drobny, as well as various stakeholders and veterinarians within the coming weeks to determine how this could be prevented in the future.
This was nobody's fault. This was not anything to do with neglect. It was just an unfortunate, unforeseen accident. And we're going to do whatever we can in our power not to let this ever happen again.
Results from the investigation are expected within the next 20 to 30 days. And the price of gold in New York down $8.50 an ounce to $1,597.90. An ounce of silver at $28.77 and a pound of zinc 86 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome at 8:59 this morning and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:42. Unofficially 14 below zero at the KNOM studios 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.